and believing firmly in the Lord's protection and feeling exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord for one's maintenance, having no interest separate from that of the Lord, and always feeling meek and humble before the Lord. So you can see, like, Queen Kunti actually has, like, all these six symptoms she's expressing in all the prayers wonderfully. Like, she believes firmly in the Lord's protection, even though Bhima, Arjuna, Yudhishthira, right, all her sons were there to protect. They were like all Maharathis. But still, she does not believe in all those things. And she actually, that's why, I think I was reading the commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, translated by Bhanu Maharaj. Like, we will read that actually in the end later. So, the beauty of Vishwanatha Chakravarti commentary is, like, actually he knows what is going on in Lord's heart and Queen Kunti's heart, actually. He actually understands their mood, and then he further elaborates what is going in their mind, why they are speaking like this. Actually, we will read that. It actually brings a lot of wonderful points. He understands the mood of Krishna and the devotees, what they are speaking. So we are hearing only what they are speaking from Bhagavatam, but actually there are a lot more things are going on in their mind to make them speak. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur understands all that. Actually, he writes that. I don't want to bring that here. I will, in the end, we'll read that. Actually, it's wonderful insights, because she's always like in this mode of, like, taking shelter of Krishna. She doesn't want to lose association of Krishna, and she doesn't want to dip, even though her sons were all great. And they are all Maharathis. They were the emperor. Yudhishthira is the emperor of the world. There is nobody to challenge them. So for all practical purposes, she is under complete protection. But she says, no, no, no. But if you go away, so there is no shelter for us. So she is always feeling exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord and believing firmly in the Lord's protection. So these six symptoms, you can see, like, Queen Kunti is expressing throughout her life. So Queen Kunti is like one of the most amazing characters. She is the most exalted devotee. And if you see from the beginning, there is absolutely no situation where she could have taken material shelter. From her childhood, she had to be always dependent on the Lord. From childhood, when she was living under King Kunti Bhoja's palace, right? She was always doing service. She was always dependent on the Lord. And when the Durvasamani comes, she renders service to him, and she gets this mantra, and then she gets into trouble, because when she sees Suryadeva in the morning, gets up in the morning and then she sees Suryadeva, and then she recites the mantra, and Suryadeva comes, and then she immediately gets into trouble, because she's a small child. She gets a child. She doesn't know what to do with it. Even though she doesn't want to lose the child, because her position as a daughter of a king. So if she has this child, everybody will talk, like, not right things about the king. And that's why she gives away the child. And she's like going through so much of difficulty. This child was so much dear to her heart. But still, she gives away this child, going through so much of difficulty. From her childhood, she had been always going through difficulties. When she was married to King Pandu, and then he was cursed. They could not have children, and then after that, like, Pandu dies, and Matri also, like, enters into the fire, small five children. She has to take care of it. She comes back to the kingdom, and they can't rule the kingdom. All the time they're put in danger. They're trying to, the Kurus were trying to kill the Kauravas. They're trying to kill all the time, and she was always put in danger. There was never a situation where she could have taken materials shelter so many times. She could have, but she did not. So that is the mood of Queen Kunti. So these are the six symptoms Prabhupada talks about in the lecture, that one should have, devotees should have, as aspiring devotees, we all should have this. I think especially for us as aspiring devotees, like, the first two points are very important: accepting things favorable for devotional service and rejecting things unfavorable for devotional service. Actually, this is part of the sadhana bhakti. And we'll go to the next verse.
Kevayam nama rupabhyam.
Kevayam nama rupabhyam.
Yadubhissaha pandava.
Yadubhissaha pandava.
Bhavato darshanam. darshanam yarhi
bhavato darshanam yarhi
rishikanami
veshituhu.
Translation: as the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and Yadus will end at once. So this is the title given for this verse, our actual value. What is our actual value? So our actual value is nothing if you are not connected with Krishna. So Prabhupada, that's what he is summarizes in these points. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great king Yudhishthira, who is morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the sense of the bodies are useless without guidance of consciousness. So, as much as the soul is required for the body to operate, the whole world operates by the energy of Lord. So, without the soul, the body is useless. Similarly, without the energy of the Lord, without the shelter of the Lord, without the glance of the Lord, the world cannot operate. So, without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities. Prabhupada's choice of words are like amazing. Non-entities. I never heard of that word, non-entities. So, and no one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. Actually, we can see that this is totally opposite of what currently happens in the world. The world especially we are living. And we are all working in some multinational companies and especially multi-billion dollar companies. And we don't see any aspect of God in any of our life, working life. So there is until otherwise you make a conscious effort, all our surroundings are to make sure that we forget Krishna. That's our situation right now. So all the facilities and all the arrangements happening in this world is to make us forget God. And that's like practical, you can see, like that's why like slowly like the God in picture is going away from all the aspects of the society. And it's very few places, like Prabhupada actually says, like even if you go to church, there is not so much of attendance nowadays. And there is no, that's the only place they have God, is like in the church. And there also not many people are going. So the society is going towards a direction where it's godless civilization. Slowly people are going away from God. So Prabhupada is saying, no one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. So that actually, if you see, very few famous or powerful people might be actually God conscious today. So that's the, whereas in the past, in the previous yugas, all the great powerful personalities, they were always taking shelter of Krishna or taking guidance from Krishna or his devotees. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. So actually Prabhupada condemns the industrialization and the modern civilization. So we'll go to the next verse.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Yate danim gadadara.
Yate danim gadadara.
Tvatpadair ankita bhati.
Tvatpadair ankita bhati.
Swalakshana vilakshitai.
Swalakshana vilakshitai.
Translation: O Gadadara, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. So the title for this verse given in teachings of Queen Kunti is like Beauty in Krishna's Presence. And when Krishna is there, everything is beautiful. When Krishna is not there, everything becomes immaterial. It doesn't make any sense. And Prabhupada is saying like here, there are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, an instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapura was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas. And the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. So, Prabhupada actually in the lecture he says, like how when we get the favor of Krishna, when we get the favor of Krishna, everything can be nicely flourishing. If you don't have the favor of Krishna, everything can be taken away. And we can see that, like if so many powerful, famous people, they make so much of money or collect so much of fame and wealth and whatnot, and then all of a sudden we hear them, they become paupers, nobody is to even care for them. Whereas the same thing would happen for a devotee, but for him the association of Krishna and the devotees are there always. Even if he might lose everything, but still he is not bereft of anything. So he has association of Krishna and the devotees. Whereas for a materialist that is not the case. So when all the material things goes away, there is nothing. All the people will run away from him, nobody cares for him and whatnot. Whereas for a person who had taken shelter of Krishna, that is not the case. Like you can see in the life of Prabhupada actually, according to his horoscope, he was predicted that he will become a very rich person. And then Prabhupada actually, he was on the way to become a rich person. He had a nice pharmacy industry and everything was going nicely for him. And then he lost everything. And especially when he came to New York in 1965, he lost everything. One winter night, in winter of 1965, Prabhupada was kicked out of the apartment where he was living. The person he was living with, he became crazy and he tried to kill Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was standing in the street and he didn't have anything. No material possession. I don't know whether he had passport with him at the time or not. He didn't have anything. He was standing in the street. But still, he did not lose anything because he had always Krishna in his heart. Because at the time, the thought it was going in his heart was, Krishna, I knew you will take one, at one point of time, you will take away everything from me because to make me completely dependent on you. I didn't know that it's going to happen this way. So I think it's written in Prabhupada book, You Are Our Revelation book. Actually, it's written that Prabhupada was thinking like, I knew that you will take away all my dependence in the material world. Because you will make me to completely dependent on you, but I didn't knew that it's going to happen this way. So that's how he was like standing in the streets. Just think about it, like 70 plus year old man, and in a foreign land, and there is nobody he knew, there is no money, there is no shelter, there is no connection, there is nothing. There is none of his relatives, none of his sons, nobody was there. And then he was like, I don't know how cold winter New York is. It's very cold. I hear it's in New York, it's like very cold. And he was like thrown out in the night. He was standing in the night in the street. He didn't have any place to go. So but he didn't lose anything. This is what actually Rompal Maharaji was explaining in the lecture. He was telling Prabhupada didn't lose anything because he had Krishna in his heart. He had his consciousness was always with Krishna and he was completely dependent on Krishna. And then after going through all the difficulty the first 1 year in New York, after that he established ISKCON and slowly people started coming, and then slowly started so many facilities started coming, and then he had like so many disciples and so much of money. Actually, in fact, Prabhupada had access to so much of money, but he was always using for Krishna. He had access to so much of money. He had become like one business person. When Prabhupada went back to India, he said like, Prabhupada, you are an amazing business person. Swami, you are amazing, amazing business person. You went with like 30 rupees to America and then you have so much of wealth now. So what is the secret? That's what he was asking. And Prabhupada had become very rich because he was always dependent on Krishna. So, and Krishna was providing everything. So without Krishna, there is no prosperity, there is no wealth, there is nothing. So whatever we have in our life, if it's not connected with Krishna, we know that it will be taken away. When it will be taken away? At the time of death. If it's not taken away now or later, so at the time of death it will be taken away. Nothing will be left. But if you utilize in Krishna's service, so nothing is gone, nothing is lost. And that's what, like, I think this in this verse, like Prabhupada speaks in the lectures. I think he had given like 2 lectures on this verse. There are quite a few lectures on this topic though. So this verse is from 37 to 43. I think almost every verse is Prabhupada had given 2 lectures. There are a lot of nectar to hear. And I was not able to hear everything, but whatever I remember, I'm just trying to tell. And beauty in Krishna's presence. Without Krishna, so there is no beauty. How, for us, like, how do we perceive Krishna? Because Krishna is not here for us. So how can we perceive Krishna? Krishna can be felt. We can feel the presence of Krishna by his holy name and his form as a deity in the temple. And so holy name for us especially is accessible everywhere. We can chant from anywhere, any condition we can chant. So holy name is the way to feel Krishna. So especially in this Kali Yuga, so holy name is the only way. And we can see, like, as long as we chant the holy name of the Lord, so we can see that, so the beautiful things happens in our life. So like Prabhupada actually also talks about in this verse, in this lecture, he was telling like how Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like making this holy name available, because Krishna is not here, and he made this holy name of Krishna, made it available. When we chant the holy name of the Lord and when we follow the parampara, so we can see that everything will nicely flourish. So Prabhupada was giving the example, like 500 years back Lord Chaitanya established this Krishna conscious movement. So now also we are trying to do the same thing by chanting the holy name of the Lord, by following the parampara system. Everything will, the same effect will happen. As long as we follow the parampara and do things according to the instruction of the parampara and spiritual master, things will happen, the same things will happen. And we can see the same effect, like Jagai and Madai got delivered 500 years back by Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya. Similarly, so many Jagai and Madai are getting delivered now in America. He is saying, because we are following the parampara system. So one has to follow the parampara. So when we follow the parampara and then chant the holy name of the Lord, and then Krishna will be present. And then all the auspicious things will happen. So Prabhupada actually, he was like calling, all of you are very beautiful because you are all Krishna's devotee. So before you were not Krishna's devotee, you were not beautiful. Now you are all beautiful because you are all Krishna's devotee. As long as Krishna is present, Krishna is present wherever his devotees are chanting his holy name. And as long as Krishna is there, everything is beautiful. Without Krishna, it's not. Actually, Prabhupada further says in this lecture, the paramparas, following the parampara system will have effect. It had effect 500 years back, it is having now, even 5000 years later, it will have the same effect. So we do not have to worry about it. As long as we follow the parampara, as long as we follow the instruction of Krishna, as long as we chant the holy name properly, the effect will be there. And I think, I can say this for sure, like my life was not auspicious before coming to Krishna consciousness. Now it's also not so much, but I can see this process is working. So that's, if it can work for me, I always believe that if it can work for me, it can work for anybody, because I knew how my life was before. And somehow by the association of devotees and mercy of Harivilas Prabhu and all the devotees here, so I was able to come to the temple, and when we started chanting the holy name, slowly, slowly, we got this knowledge and information and association of devotees. The process is working. So it might work little slower or faster depending on how serious one is about. The medicine is there, it's going to work for sure. Whether we take the medicine properly and follow the diet properly or not, it's up to us. So the potency of the medicine is there. It'll work. It worked in the past. It is working now. It'll work in the future. But whether we take the medicine properly or not, that's up to us. Doctor can only give the prescription. The patient's duty is to make sure that we take the medicine on time and follow the diet. So what is the diet? Medicine is the holy name. What is diet? Prashadam. Yeah, that's service. Service is the diet. So like what I heard is like, the medicine is there, but if you don't follow the diet properly, you will not get the full effect of the medicine. It may not cure the disease immediately. But when we do take the medicine and follow the diet, which is like doing the service, when we take shelter of Krishna by chanting holy name, and then do some practical service, so the effect will be there. It'll work properly. If you do not do service, if you just keep chanting and reading, you may not have realization. This is like Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning. It's like this. The whole chanting the holy name and reading scriptures is like the ingredients, and service is like the fire. And if you have too much of ingredient, if you have very little fire, nothing will get cooked. It'll be raw. Everything will be raw. But if there is no proper hearing and chanting, if there's less ingredient, if too much of fire is there, the pot will get burnt. If you just keep doing service, and if you don't take shelter of Krishna, chant properly and hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, so the pot, you will eventually get burnt out. We can see that actually in practical. A lot of people come and do so much of service, but if they don't chant, eventually they get fried out. After that, they will go away. We can see it for ourselves. So many people come and do some service. After some time, they are gone. After a few months, they are gone. Why? Because they are not adding the ingredients. They are just only putting the fire. If you keep on adding the fire, the pot will get burnt. And then also, Gaurang Prabhu mentioned, your heart is the vessel. Depending on how much heart you have, how big your heart is, that much you should take. That much of ingredients you should put, and that much of fire only you should put. You should do according to your capacity. Your heart is the capacity. If you have lot of capacity to do, then you can do lot of hearing and chanting and do lot of service. And then nicely things will get cooked. If the vessel is too small and if you add lot of ingredients, it'll come out. And then if the vessel is too small and if you add a lot of fire, things will get burnt as well. So according to your capacity, we should do the hearing and chanting and then engage in some practical service. So without fire, the ingredients will not get cooked. Bhagavatam and holy name is the ingredient. And then doing some practical service is the fire. Without fire, whatever ingredient we put in the pot, that's our heart, it will remain as raw, it will not get cooked. So also we need to be very careful that we add enough fire so that the pot is not burnt. If the pot is not burnt and if you add enough fire and add enough amount of ingredients, then we'll get nice thing cooked, and then we can offer to Krishna and then we can also relish. So it's very important that we take according to our capacity, we do the reading and chanting and engage in some practical service. So when we do that, then we can feel the presence of Krishna. So otherwise, it will be just theoretical. So we will not be, we can keep saying that, okay, Krishna's holy name and Krishna is non-different and Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. We can keep saying that, but it will all remain as theory. So until we engage in some practical service, we will not be able to realize this. That's very important.
ీనదీ
ఉదన్వంతో
హీ
తవ వీక్షితై
కీయదంతే తవ వీక్షితై.
Translation: all the cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. So the title for this verse is Natural Prosperity. So Prabhupada brings out this point, how in the modern civilization the prosperity of a nation is determined by how industrialized it is. The prosperity of the nation is determined by how many type of industry it has, how many type of producing facilities it has, not based on natural prosperity. Whereas according to Vedic system, the prosperity of a country or a person is determined by these things quoted by natural resources, quoted by Queen Kunti. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts, not by gigantic industrial enterprises. So actually we can see that that is totally opposite of the current view. So how much of industrialization, how much of software industry you have, how much of hardware industry you have, how much of nuclear industry you have, it's all based on that. Only a prosperity of a nation is determined. America is considered one of the wealthiest nation because it has so much gigantic industries. But actually, if you think carefully, that in order to even have all these industries, ultimately what you need natural resources. So that actually, that part people miss. I think that's the part I think Prabhupada always emphasizing. All you need is you need a piece of land and a cow. That's all to bring prosperity. Because that's how much of our software we make, how much of our things we produce through enterprises, none of them can feed us. None of them can, we can't eat any of those things. It can't sustain us. Ultimately, you need grains, right, to sustain. So that part actually, that's what it's missing in the current civilization. They all want to keep advancing in some direction, whether it's in opposite, whichever direction it is. But they miss the basic point that ultimately, if you don't dependent on natural resources, we will not be able to sustain. So if you are just dependent on artificial means of producing things, ultimately that country will end up bankrupt. If you don't have foundation, your economy is like founded by these natural things. If natural things are not there, ultimately that economy will collapse. That's actually it's proven. And it's like it's just a matter of time. Eventually it has to collapse because ultimately people need the natural resources to sustain. So America had become a richest country because it has abundant of natural resources actually. Like America has like so much of land and so much of resources are there. That's how it becomes such an industrialized nation, not just because of something else. So for even to become industrialized, you need natural resources. So nowadays actually that's been missed out. Like we focus on all the things without actually looking at what is actually needed. So that's the problem. So if you see, especially in India, that's what I'm hearing. Lot of farmlands have been converted into industries, especially because of software and offshore, and so many lands have been converted into, all these farmlands are being converted into like buildings and enterprises, which is an unfortunate situation. And without having natural gifts, without having natural wealth, so a country cannot be self-sustained. So you need, for self-sustenance, you need food grains and milk and all these things. Otherwise you can't. The natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, the seas full of pearls are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. So it's very, very important. Like if you are depending on natural resources, actually you are completely at the mercy of the Lord. So, and like how much about we try, right? When we wanted to produce grains, one has to depend on rain. It doesn't matter how great country you are, how great land you have. If there is no rain, there is no grain. So when we depend on natural resources, automatically we will be dependent on Krishna. So that is the way Vedic civilization is done. It makes you to depend on Krishna either directly or indirectly. whether you want it or not, whether you know it or not, the civilization itself will make you to depend on Krishna. By having this simple living, high thinking, when you have a piece of land, when you have a cow, and when you have to sustain, you will be ultimately dependent on rain. So rain cannot come without Krishna's mercy. So that makes you to depend on Krishna. So when we are not engaged in that activity, we have so much of false shelter, we do so many things. And then somewhere else somebody is growing the grain. And okay, in India there is no rice, we'll import rice from Thailand. If Thailand there is no rice, we'll import from there. Right? We all knew that, like sometime back, like we couldn't import rice from India. The rice prices went up. So okay, like instead of start importing from India, we'll start importing from Thailand. Right? Something like that. Like President Bush, he said like, oh, in India now, like people had become rich, they're eating more rice. That's why there's no more rice. So before they couldn't eat more rice because they didn't have money. That's why they're selling the rice, they're exporting the rice. Now they started eating more rice. That's why there is no rice for us. That's what he was telling. No, that's not true. Because the rice production is dependent on Krishna's mercy. So if there is no rain, there is no grain. And so by being dependent on nature means actually you are dependent on Krishna. Whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you are conscious or not, you are automatically dependent on Krishna. So that's very important to cultivate. That being, even though we might be working in software, we may not be directly working in the field and grains and rains. Somebody is magically producing grains and then you pay $1 or $5 per bag or $10 per bag, you get the rain, grains. But actually we should be conscious. This grains are produced because of mercy of Krishna. And without that, I cannot sustain. Without grains, nobody can sustain. We can't keep eating like Microsoft Office or like Windows and sustain. We need grains. So we might have the purchasing power, but if there is no grain, what will you purchase? The whole thing will collapse. So it's important for the economic advancement has to be also based on these principles. Like that's why Vedic civilization, so it doesn't reject advancement. It keeps economic development, artha is there, dharma artha is there. But we have to be dependent on Krishna. The artha has to be based on the principles described by Krishna. If it is not, then it will collapse for sure. It cannot be sustained. You might feel that it's working. Wow, it's working, this process is working, that process is working. But it will not work eventually if Krishna's mercy is not there. The natural law is that human being may take advantage of this godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitative motive of lording it over material nature. So all this gifts provided by Mother Nature, when if it is there, we should be very careful also when we are using it. You might have access to all this wealth. Forget about the current modern wealth, then it's natural wealth. If it is there, quickly it can be used very cautiously, because otherwise what will happen is it will entangle you. So you will become again the lording over mentality will come. So one has to be very careful. That's what Prabhupada is calling out. Just being having a simple living, like having a piece of land and cow and I'm independent, I'm following the Vedic process, actually is not sufficient. You have to be very careful, because even that simplicity and the happiness in the mode of goodness also is a dangerous one. Right? It's a very dangerous one. You have to be very careful, because we have to be dependent on Krishna. The flow of river waters fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. So minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the ocean. If human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprises at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate man? Actually, this is a very, very powerful point. Actually, we can see that this is the problem the world is facing. Because few people are controlling the most of the resources in the world, and then this few unfortunate men has to work hard to sustain the rest of the people. That actually was the one which creates the unrest in the world. All the problems in the world are because of this exploitative mentality. So we one has to understand, if we are happily working and happily living, having a house, having food stuff and all of them, you need to know that somebody else is actually working hard, because Mother Nature does not give things automatically. In order to produce grain, somebody has to work in the field. It doesn't come automatically. So if we are eating nicely and doing all things nicely, that means you should know that somebody else is actually working for us. Some third world country or somewhere, somebody is doing the physical work, because Mother Nature does not give things automatically. In order to produce grain, you need to take this water and you need to work hard in the field to produce something. It doesn't come automatically. So that means if we are living comfortably, that means we should know that somebody else is actually working for us. So that is the reason why there is unrest in the world. When somebody is keep exploiting this thing, I am giving happily because I am having all this economic advancement and whatnot. But if the person forgets that actually I am living on the mercy of somebody else, we're living on the hard work of some fruit of somebody else's work. If he doesn't recognize that, eventually there will be problems. This is what happening. All the unrest in the world are because of people are trying to exploit. So like exploit, if we don't have natural resources, we'll go to some other place and then like occupy that land and then plunder, right? That's the mentality. If you have that, automatically it will create unrest. What is because, forget about being God conscious. If we are not conscious of this fact that we are dependent on, I'm living comfortably, means somebody else is doing the work. Because in order to eat whatever the grains I need, the grains does not come automatically. Somebody has to work on it. So I might be paying by using money and all these things, but actually how did it come? Somebody did the hard work. If you are not conscious of the fact, it'll eventually create unrest. So that's very important to note, that like we should be always very conscious of the things whatever we are using in our life, that actually it is not coming automatically. It is coming by somebody's hard work, it's coming by Krishna's mercy. So, but all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But what we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. The indications by Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. So, natural prosperity cannot come without Krishna's grace. So there is no wealth like using like the no minerals in the mountains or like the pearls in the ocean. Nothing can be produced without Krishna's mercy. So if something is not there in a particular piece of land, something is not there, we know that it's Krishna's mercy is not there. So we can see like Pandavas, right, when they were given the land, it was a barren land. How everything all become wonderful, how they were able to build Indraprastha and become such a wonderful, beautiful land? Because Krishna's mercy was there. Once Krishna's glance is there, yes, we have to put our effort. Whatever effort we put, they're all like big, big zeros. If Krishna's mercy is not there, if one is not there in front, everything is zero only. We can put all our effort, but still Krishna's mercy is required. Like this is the thing we can see from Pandava's life. Pandavas were given barren land, it was useless land. It was considered as useless. Nothing can be done with that land. But Krishna's mercy was there for them always. And then that land had become wonderful land. So if Krishna's mercy is there, whatever situation we are living in, whatever condition you are living in, if Krishna's mercy is there, all the necessary things will come. So that's the important thing. Like as long as we are dependent on Krishna, so whatever condition, wherever you are, so if you are dependent on Krishna, then whatever facilities required for to sustain our living will automatically be provided. So if we are living in a land where there is, let's say there is a drought and there is no food grains, but if you are completely dependent on Krishna, it will come somehow. The example actually Prabhupada gives is like Narada Muni, when he gave the instruction to Mrigari the hunter, right? So he asked him to go near the Ganges and then gave a tulsi plant and chant Hare Krishna. And then he was thinking, oh, you are asking me to chant Hare Krishna, what will I do for eating? I have a family to feed. What will I do? He said, don't worry, I will provide. So then that person started chanting, people started hearing, oh, there is a hunter Vaishnava. There is a hunter Vaishnava. Prabhupada said there is nothing called hunter Vaishnava, but the people are calling hunter Vaishnava. Hunter had become a Vaishnava. Now there were so many people who were coming to see him. So according to Vedic principles, when a grihastha goes to go and see a sadhu, he has to take some gifts. Usually they take some grains, some rice, some dal, some grains one is supposed to take. Supposed to take some gifts. So all these people who are coming to visit Mrigari, right? So they were all giving all this to him. And then he got so much of food stuff. He didn't know what to do. So if you are dependent on Krishna, so everything will be provided. So you might feel that actually there's nothing is there. Because he was feeling that, oh, I stopped killing the animals, now how can I feed my family? I can't do it. I don't know anything else. Now my master is telling me to chant Hare Krishna. How will I sustain? Right? But when he had the faith in the spiritual master's words, when he executed them properly with the sincere endeavor, everything needed will be provided by Krishna. This is what Rompada Maharaj also mentioned. Everything will be provided if you are trying to do some service. Everything needed to execute the service will be provided by the mercy of the spiritual master, as long as we have faith in the words of the spiritual master. So Mrigari was able to have a living. So no. Similarly, if you take shelter of Krishna and chant the holy name, everything whatever is required to sustain our life will be provided. Yes, we need to make our endeavor. So it's not that we sit idle, like Prabhupada quoted, it's not like we should not be sitting idle. And we should make our endeavor, but ultimately the results comes because of Krishna's mercy. So that we should be careful, that we should be aware of.
स्नेहपाशं इमं चिंदी
दृढं पांडुषु वृष्णिषु
Translation. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of my affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnish. So she's asking, Queen Kunti is asking, like, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and Vrishnish. Actually, Prabhupada says, women actually have this two relations, like one is from the father's side, another is from the husband's side. So they have to always deal with these two relations. They are always like a dilemma, like they have to do something here, something there, please here, please there. So that's the dilemma Kunti is having, because Krishna, when he leaves Hastinapur, Krishna's absence will bereft the association of Krishna for Pandavas. Actually, it's a loss for Pandavas. It's a gain for the Yadus, the Vrishnish. And if Krishna does not go to Dwaraka, it's a loss for Vrishnish and a gain for Pandavas. Now she is in a dilemma. So it's not a win-win situation, it is a win-lose situation for her. So if Pandavas win, Vrishnish gain. And if Vrishnish lose, Pandavas gain. So now, but she's like relative to both. Both of them are dear to her heart. Both of them are related to her. And she doesn't know what to do now. She's bolder, like, she's like, I don't want anything. Both of them, please cut me out. So that's what she's praying. Like, we'll see, like Prabhupada actually mentions this in the purport. The title is Cutting of Ties of Affection. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. So if somebody is not bound by the family affection, actually he doesn't have to ask anything from the Lord. They don't have to, you can keep simply serving. Because, so we have all this family affection, that's why we have to go and ask these favors from the Lord. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas. But by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she decided to cut off the affectionate tie. So this is like she didn't know what to do. So like, so Krishna going is also not good, not going is also not good. So it's she wants to have association of Krishna, but keeping Krishna here, her paternal relatives, they will be deprived of Krishna's association. So she doesn't want to do. So like she said, like cut my relationship with both of them. So that I can be take shelter of you only. So we'll see that actually it's coming. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. So it's like we can see that, like Prabhupada also mentioned in the lecture. So that's what actually like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned to him, that actually he says like one has to commit civil suicide. So it's called civil suicide. Actually, material suicide is a criminal. Suicide is a criminal. So one cannot commit suicide. It's a mistake. Whereas cutting this family affection is actually, it's considered as civil suicide. But actually, that is good because that is good for spirituality. Prabhupada says that. And example for this cutting this ties to the affection of his family is like the six Goswamis, right? There actually we can see they were all like born in a great family. They were all like ministers, they had so much of wealth, so much of opulence, and they were devotees. They were like born in a wonderful family, and Saraswati Brahmins, and they are highest of the order. And they had all this wealth. They are actually chanting Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, everything they were doing in association. They were Krishna conscious. They didn't have to leave all these things to become Krishna conscious. They were already Krishna conscious because they wanted to serve the world. They wanted to propagate this mission of Krishna consciousness. They renounced, they cut all this family affection. So that's why the pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities. The verse 6 Goswamis widened their activity by renouncing their things and then going to Vrindavan and then on the order of Lord Chaitanya. So they were excavating the holy places of Vrindavan and then they were writing scriptures. These are the two things they were doing. These are the two instruction given by Lord Chaitanya. Actually, that is so. Whatever we are having is because of the sacrifices done by our Guru Parampara, especially the Sadguru Swamis. I think you can when Prabhupada chants Sadguru Swami Ashtakam, you can hear that actually the mood in which Prabhupada chants, actually it will bring tears to our eyes. That it's all happening because of that sacrifice. Whatever we are having today, Krishna consciousness, is because of the sacrifice. So if you get a chance, like please try to hear that Sadguru Swami Ashtakam sung by Prabhupada. Actually, there are two tunes. So one of the tune, actually, if you hear, we can really see how grateful Prabhupada is, how much actually, like, he was, like, singing with devotion. Because all the things what we are having is because of the sacrifice they did. So without sacrifice, so it's nothing is, we cannot gain. Even to serve Krishna, we have to sacrifice something. We have to sacrifice our own things. So whatever desires we have, sometimes we have to sacrifice for the service of the Lord. So that's what they did. Now, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. So that's very important. Like the six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. So they did that. So we can see that Prabhupada also did the same thing. And then we can see that our spiritual master, so many Prabhupada disciples are also, they're doing the same thing. They're cutting off all the affections to the family. And I can see like the example is Arvilas Prabhu, right? Like he's like working for the society, working for the community, right? He still has a successful business. He can continue to do the business. But why is he focusing here? Because he is widening his activity of devotional service. So that's very important. So to cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahmana, a king, a public leader or a devotee of the Lord. So such personalities as a Brahmana, a devotee, a king or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. So if you read actually like the purport further, it mentioned like actually Kunti Devi is like actually she is trying to cut off the relationship because it is based on the skin. Prabhupada writes it's based on the skin. That is the one she doesn't want to cut off the affection for the devotees. They are all devotees. She is not trying to cut off the affection because they are devotees. She is trying to cut off the affection because they are related to her material body. That is the one she wants to cut off, not the affection for the devotees. Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. So we'll move on to this next verse.
Tvai me ananya vishaya
matir madhupate
sakra
ratim
udvahata dadda
gange
vogam udanvati.
Translation: O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So the title for this verse is Unalloyed Devotion. So actually that's what Kunti Devi is praying here. So please cut off all my affection to the family members so that my devotion can flow like the river of Ganges. She doesn't want that to be obstructed by anything else. Only she wants devotion to Krishna. So a living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. In devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. Example: Arjuna discharging his duties. Is Arjuna changing to fight, willing to fight because of before he actually started? Originally, he started to fight. He was before fighting. He started thinking, "Oh, this is all my relatives. I cannot fight." And then after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, then he started doing this duty. So Arjuna changing after hearing Bhagavad Gita is like, before whatever the propensity he had, he continued to do. Before he was planning to fight, now he is doing the fighting. Now because he is fighting, instead of fighting for himself, he is fighting for Krishna. So we cannot get rid of our desires and all the things, affections we have for others. So it has to be like connected with Krishna. By connecting with Krishna, even though these are all ties, actually all these desires and all these things we have, actually which is the one which is going to bind us to the material world, actually that same thing can be a liberating thing. The desires is the root cause for all our suffering. Desires is the root cause which binds us to the material world. Actually the same desire can be used to come out of the material world also. The whatever things which is binding can become liberating by connecting with Krishna. It is declared in all scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. All the things are there, nothing changed. The same set of people in front of him to fight, the same Gandiva he had, same bows he had, same chariot he had, everything was there. The only thing which changed is his consciousness. Instead of doing it for himself, Arjuna is trying to discharge the duty for Krishna. So that is very important. Actually, that's what devotional service is all about. Devotional service is whatever capacity you are in, whatever situation we are in, we don't have to make any extra endeavor. Whatever capacity you are put with, actually we can connect with Krishna. So that's what devotional service is. And we don't have to make any extra endeavor to serve Krishna. Wherever you are in, we can always connect with Krishna. That's very important. The prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical change in activities. So how Arjuna changed, right, by hearing Bhagavad Gita. So the same thing actually Kunti is telling, like, I don't want all these ties, please cut off all these ties so that my devotion to you only be there. So Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Actually, this is the perfection of life. And so we have all this, so much of affection and so much of responsibility, so much of hindrance is there. Actually, it all can be converted towards Krishna, connected with Krishna. But in this process of connecting with Krishna, we will get purified and all this bond will be ultimately cut. So we will be untied from all these bondings, and then we can get liberated, and then we can serve Krishna without any other diversion. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure devotional service. Actually, this is like the definition of devotional service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. That's what Prabhupada is telling. Like our senses, once they are purified, when we engage them in Krishna service or satisfaction of Krishna's senses, that becomes pure devotional service. It's not like Mayavadis, we don't want to get rid of our senses. We don't want to become like a spark in the Brahman. We don't want to do that actually. We want to keep all these things. But no, we want it somehow or the other, we want to connect it with Krishna and then keep our consciousness such a way that it can be always used for only for Krishna, not for something else. So that is pure devotional service. Prabhupada is like unalloyed devotional service. So Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Actually, this is what this prayer is. This prayer is asking for unalloyed devotion. That is the goal of life. That is the goal of human form of life. It's like begging for this unalloyed devotion to God. So her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the material energy. That's why she is asking to cut this bodily relation. She doesn't want to cut the affection for the devotees. She wants to actually cut the affection because of the bodily relationship. The relations of the soul established in relations with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the mammary relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by via medium of relation with super soul. Actually, the connection between the previous verse and this verse is, she wants to cut off all the relation, but actually she doesn't want to cut off all the relation by connecting with Krishna. Before, she is asking Krishna to cut off this thing, because it's all based on bodily thing. Now, by connecting with Krishna, she will connect them back. So, because they are all devotees of the God. When you are attached to God, automatically you are attached to God's devotees as well. So, she is not losing something here. She is asking her to cut off her ties to family, because she wants to focus on Krishna. By focusing on Krishna, automatically she will be connected with everybody, all the devotees of the Lord. So, there is nothing to lose for her. That's why she is able to express this prayer. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. When we come to devotional service, so automatically we can see, get all this knowledge. We can see how things are working. So when we are in sun, right, there is no need to have a extra light to see in something. Automatically you can see everything. When you are in darkness, you can't see. So coming to devotional service means when you are serving Krishna, when Krishna is there, automatically all the knowledge, everything will be there. So in this world, things are... Okay, I think this, I need to remove this. I want to quote this in the end. So this is a quotation from a lecture I heard. So we'll move on to the next one.
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Rishabhavani Dhru.
Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Rishabhavani Dhru. Rajanya Vamsa Dahana Pavagravirya.
Govinda
Godvija Surati Haravatara.
Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste.
Translation. So this is the last verse in this section. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendant of Rishni, you are the destroyer of the political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distress of the cows, the brahmanas and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are Almighty God, you are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. This is the last prayer, this is the summary conclusion. After giving all the prayers, actually, like in the first part of the prayers, actually, Krishna, she glorifies Krishna, and then she also tells why Krishna comes down to this material world. And then before the section, the last verse was actually, by continuously hearing and chanting Krishna's name, we can actually go back to Krishna. That's the verse, previous verse, that was the last verse, 36th verse. So from this prayer, actually, she is concluding, and she actually expressed her fear and then desire. Her fear is that if Krishna leaves, inauspicious things will come. Her desire is to be always unalloyed devotion to Krishna. She wants cut off all his familial relationship, and then she wants to have unalloyed devotion to Krishna. That's her desire. And the conclusion is that Krishna is saying, actually, this is what you are. Your position is, actually, you come down to this material world actually to liberate the devotees. And she is concluding this prayer here, that you are coming to this world, actually you are proprietor of everything, you are everything. He is describing all the things, and then she is like, please accept my humble obeisances. That's what she is saying here. And the Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually, a summary of the Supreme Lord Krishna is made herein by Kunti Devi. So this is the summary of Krishna, actually, who Krishna is, what he does, everything is mentioned in just one verse. The Almighty Lord has eternal transcendental abode where He is engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. He is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim His devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administration work. He creates, maintains and annihilates by His unlimited energies, and still He is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the brahmanas and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of His special attention because they are very important factors of the general welfare of living beings. So in just one verse, actually, Kunti Devi is giving the summary of Krishna, who God is, what does He do, and then why He comes to this material world, and what's our connection to God in just one verse. And actually, I wanted to give some of the quotes, what I heard in the lectures related to this verses. So when you make commitment to carry on some service, you may not know what's down the road. What are the good fortunes and the obstacles you have to encounter? A surrendered soul does not consider those things. Whatever is down in the road, it is part of the service. You just accept it. It is also service to accept the good fortunes as well as the obstacles. Actually, this is the verse for 40th verse, being dependent on Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada Maharaj actually quotes in this verse, actually, he had given in 2005 prayers of Queen Kunti seminar, I think he had taken in Vrindavan during the Yatra. So in that verse, actually, he says, like, when you make some commitment to do some service, you be sure that there will be disturbance, there will be something will go, or something will work, something will not work. Actually, a person, when he's engaged in service, he should say that whenever obstacle comes, that is also part of the service. Actually, one should accept it. So sometimes we try to go circumvent things, like whenever something doesn't work, we have the tendency to adjust and go and try to correct, manipulate and do so many things. Actually, sometimes it's not in your control. Things, you cannot manipulate everything, you cannot control everything. You have to accept it. Sometimes failures will come. One has to accept it. So that is also part of the service. So the devotional service means it's not everything is going to work the way we want. So not everything is going to be successful. So sometimes the obstacle comes, the obstacle is also part of the service. We have to accept it. That is part of the service. And by faith in the instruction of the spiritual master, all facilities will come. We need purity in the heart. That's all we need. As long as we have purity in the heart, as long as we have faith in the instruction of the spiritual master, automatically all the facilities to do our devotional service will be provided. Kunti is not a family breaker. Actually, this is the thing, like, if the previous couple of verses, if you read, right, like, why Kunti wants to cut off her family relationship, actually, like the Maharaj said, Kunti is not a family breaker. Srimad Bhagavatam is not either. Srila Prabhupada was not either. People think like that. A sadhu breaks family. Actually, sadhu does not break family. A sadhu brings spiritual attachment. By bringing spiritual attachment, that's the focus of the sadhu, not to cut off your material things. Actually, by focusing on spiritual things, automatically these things will go away. So it's not a Kunti is not a family breaker, Bhagavatam is not, and Prabhupada was not. And like a sadhu is not a family breaker either. And generally there is a opinion of people, okay, these people come and preach something and then they take my children away, take my... Prabhupada has to face all this difficulty, right? Like so many people, actually some people even sued Prabhupada. And actually that's not the case. Prabhupada actually is not trying to... He is trying to give something spiritual. So in the process, automatically the familial attachment will go away. So that's what happened. So it's very important to know that. In this world, things rarely go. We want them to go the way to go. In fact, if everything goes the way we want, then we must be doing something wrong. That's the way devotee thinks, it's a spell mistake. The materialist thinks we must be doing all the right. When things goes the way we want, devotee thinks, oh, there is something is wrong, why it is all working. But whereas the materialist thinks that, oh, I might be doing something right, that's why it's all working. So whereas devotee thinks, why everything is working, why there is no obstacle, that means Krishna has some plan. So devotee thinks that way. Because if everything goes the way we want, then there is no need of having God in our life. So we will forget God. If everything goes the way we want, eventually we will forget God. So it's very important. If something doesn't go the way we want, that means actually it is working according to Krishna's plan. That means we will remember Krishna. So that's very important. Otherwise, everything will be superficial. So if everything happens nicely the way we want, so we will forget God easily. And we might keep doing devotional service and everything is working the way according to our plan. We might say, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm doing my all the service and everything, and I don't have any difficulty. That means actually it's all superficial, because we will eventually forget Krishna. There has to be some obstacle has to come. Then that will make us remember Krishna. So that's very important. So the references for this, so far it's, I had taken from teachings of Queen Kunti and Prabhupada Vani and Prabhupada Swami.com. The lectures, very nice lectures of Prabhupada Swami is there, Queen Prayers of Queen Kunti, then also in from his Kanda Saitri. So I'd like to conclude here. Also, I would like to read the commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, I said before, after the class. Okay. So it's very quick actually, it's very not much actually, it's like 5 minutes. So this is the verse where like the beginning, 37th verse. Krishna, actually Kunti is saying like you are going away now because you thought you had done all the things and then you're going away. So that was, O Lord, this is the translation I'm reading. O Lord, do you who deeds are automatically accomplished desire to reject us today, though we are friends and depend on you? We have created trouble with many kings, have no other shelter than your lotus feet. Actually, this is a different translation than proposed translation. But that's what the meaning is. Like, Lord, you are going away. Because still, all the difficulties are not gone. Actually, you think it's gone. It's not gone. So, in the commentary, we, not others, become happy on seeing you and suffer not on seeing you. The time of happiness has passed and the time of suffering has arrived. Quote, do you desire to leave us today since you desire to go to Dwaraka? This is actually going on in Kunti's mind actually. Lord, you decided to leave us and because you wanted to go to Dwaraka, that's why she is asking this prayers. But I have stayed many days. Krishna is saying actually in his mind. Krishna is, but I have stayed many days. Now I must go to Dwaraka. I have necessary work there. Please give your assent. To this Kunti answers, but you are the person whose necessary works are already accomplished. Your intention fulfilled themselves automatically. Some versions have the word without visarga, visarga ha, h, ha. Then it would a vocative address to Krishna, O self-accomplisher. Actually, Krishna doesn't have to go do the things. He is self-accomplished. That's what she is saying in the prayer. So why are you going? Because Krishna is saying, I have duty to do that. I'm going. Krishna, Kunti is saying, no. You don't have to go there to do your duty because you automatically accomplish everything. This is what made her to recite this verse. And in the next verse, actually next verse is like, without your presence, who are we? Pandavas, along with the Yadus, with their fame and strength, we are like the senses without the Jiva. So actually like Krishna is saying, before she recited the verse, Krishna is thinking, like, but you have Krishna. And Kunti said, like, I mean, without you, there is no shelter. If you go away, there is danger. All these kings will come again and attack us. But Arjuna is still, Krishna is thinking, but Bhima and Arjuna, your sons are very powerful. The king is Dharma personified, and Yadavas are your friends. You have no worries. I don't have to stay. So there is no need for me to stay. And then immediately for that, she responds this verse. Who are we? Like Pandavas, we are nothing. Without you, we are nothing. We are like the body without a soul. If you are not there, for that purpose, actually she recites this verse. Who are we? Pandavas with Yadus having fame and ability without your presence. Similarly, without the presence of the Jiva, the senses have no significance or power. In the next verse, so, O holder of the club, when you go, this land marked with the special signs on your feet will not glow as it does now. Commentary. If you go there, this land will not glow. The land is marked uniquely with your signs and flag and thunderbolt. This thriving land filled with ripe herbs and fruit-laden trees, forests, mountains and rivers has grown prosperous by your glance. O Lord of the universe, O life of all the universes, O form of all the universes, please cut my strong bonds of affection for my relatives, the Pandavas and Yadavas. Commentary. Both your departure from here and coming here are unfortunate. Departure of the for the Pandavas and coming here for the Yadavas. Since she ends up with disturbed mind in either case, Kunti prays to cut off her ties of affection with both the parties. You are the Lord of all the universes, Vishvesha. You give life to all the universes, Vishvatman. Though you are the form of the universe, being an ocean of mercy, you are always attentive in regards to the welfare of the Yadavas and Pandavas. Will I die uselessly by thinking of their welfare? Actually, that's what made her to recite this verse. Because I am always thinking of the welfare for them. But actually, anyway, you will provide it because they are your devotees. You will take care of it anyway. I am uselessly thinking about them. That is because of my familial affection. That's why she is asking her to cut this relation. Not because of their devotees. Like she is thinking, I always want the welfare for them. But anyway, you will provide the welfare for them because they are your devotees. And I am unnecessarily thinking about all these things because of my familial attachment. Because of that, she is asking to cut this familial attachment. So let my mind with attention fixed on no other object, repeatedly carry its affection to you, chief of the Madhu dynasty, just as the king, just as the Ganga carries a full stream of water to the ocean. So for actually this, she is telling this verse, she is reciting this verse, because in the previous verse, he asked Krishna to cut all the relations. Immediately Krishna is actually asking, thinking in his mind, this is what going on. Then do you want realization of Brahman? Because if you cut your affection for the Yadavas, you will cut your affection for me also. This is what this is the mood Krishna is having. This is what going on in Krishna's mind. And to that actually Kunti says, no. I am not asking you to just cut the relation to you. I actually want attachment to you. So may my mind hold affection for you without any obstacle. Udva means to flow strongly. The mind should not think of anything else. Ananya Vishaya. Your devotees are non-different from you, and thus without affection for them, affection for you cannot take place. It is not possible that this could please you. This I know. Therefore, let my mind have attraction for no one except you and your devotees. I pray to cut off affectionate bonds with the Pandavas and Yadavas, who are your devotees. But since it is a prayer in front of you, it means cutting only the material affection which arises from bodily identification. It is not cutting the affectionate relation with you. I want to cut the affection which causes bondage. Just as the Ganga carries a full stream of water to the ocean, the shelter of small and large rivers, may my mind also carry its affection to you, who are the shelter of all the devotees. Just as the Ganga does not consider any obstacles on its course, my mind also should not consider any obstacles that may rise while thinking of you. So I think this is where she is concluding her prayers. So now we can understand why she is reciting these verses actually. because there is lot more things are going on, there are lot more emotions between Krishna and Kunti is going on. So because of this emotions, these prayers are coming out. There are lot more things are going on between them. So just think, imagine like Krishna is standing there and Kunti is standing there, and actually they are talking. So without actually talking, within only few words are coming out. There are lot more things are going on. Actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, like, he goes into the mind of Krishna. The whole Bhagavatam commentary he had written like that only. Actually, he goes into the mind of Krishna and then he writes based on what Krishna thinks and what the devotees think, what is going on in the mind during that conversation or during that situation. So that's the beautiful commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The last verse, after offering her prayers, she offers respect while remembering how the Lord gave happiness to all people. Krishna Sakha means friend of Krishna. You destroy the dynasties of kings who injured the earth. You have undiminished strength. You have a wealth of Kamadhenus, Govinda. So that's what she's praying. And so this, if you get a chance, read. After reading Prabhupada's commentaries, I recommend you to read this commentary, because you can see like Prabhupada had actually given all these points actually in the purport, it is there. Actually Prabhupada had given in a way easily we can digest. Actually, in order to read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and understand properly, one has to actually know Sanskrit. That's what is written. Without understanding Sanskrit, we cannot understand the commentary translated in English also, because a lot of technical things are there. So Prabhupada, what he had done is, he had taken all this nectar and then made it palatable. Actually, he made it as a baby food, and then made it easily accessible to us in plain, simple English. The same message only actually Prabhupada is quoting in the purport. We had taken from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhara Swami and so many other acharyas. But he made it easily accessible to us. So that's the beauty of Prabhupada's purport. So I'd like to end here. Any comments?
Doing the